This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Amma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah today is the joy of submission. The joy of submission. The most important thing in life is not wealth or knowledge or even action. The most important thing in life is attitude. Attitude. With the right attitude, you can create wealth, you can acquire knowledge and find the motivation to act. Without it, you may have wealth and fame and influence and knowledge, but you despair. Just look for celebrity suicides on Google and you will know that the difference between a dream and a nightmare is a very fine line. It is not because of wealth or knowledge or fame or power that the Palestinians are unbeatable. It is not for these reasons that they picked themselves up from every disaster which would have completely destroyed others. It is because of attitude. It is attitude that enables totally traumatized Palestinian children to still smile and play games while the world watches in amazement. This applies, alhamdulillah, to Muslims everywhere. The attitude of the Muslim is not merely simply submission, but to submit joyfully, to want to submit, to love to submit, to live to submit to the one who created us, blessed us in ways we cannot count, protects us from all evil, tests us and helps us to pass the tests and rewards us in this life and even more in the next. To submit joyfully to the only one who is worthy of worship. To submit because and as evidence that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know and to do what is best for us. To submit knowing that what is with Allah is better than what is with us. To submit to demonstrate our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The only two connections which will go with us when we die. The connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be our identity when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be called by that connection on that day, the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. We will be called as Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam, therefore, is not only to submit, but to want to do it, to find joy and fulfillment in doing it, to do it proudly as a sign of our identity which we don't hide, but display as we display famous brands. That is why for a true Muslim, to submit is not a struggle at all. It is what he loves to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the one who submitted joyfully, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Rabb ordered him submit, he said, I have submitted to the Rabb of the worlds. He didn't ask for time. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, I will submit if it makes sense to me or if it seems logical or is politically correct or whatever. He said, I have submitted. We submit because we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that trust produces complete peace of mind, complete tranquility in the heart, a total absence of fear and stress, because we know who is in control. When we submit, our will is superseded by the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the slave has no will of his own. He wants only one thing, and that is he wants whatever his Rabb wants for him. As one of the scholars said, the love of Allah is the purest and greatest of all loves. It gives life to the heart. It is sustenance for the soul and is the roadway to eternal success. Love is the road to Jannah. It is the main reason why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the only way to live life, a true, meaningful life on earth. I remind myself that this love is a gift. It is the reward of submission. Tawakkul is the reward of taqwa. We make the effort to have and live with taqwa, and Allah grants us tawakkul, which results in complete absence of fear of anything in the dunya if we live with taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from his tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. Place yourself as a spectator of the scene. The whole town is gathered to see the one they hated being burnt alive because he invited them away from worshipping their creations to worshipping the one who created them. See their excitement and hear their noise as they eagerly wait for events to unfold. The fire is so huge that they need a catapult to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into it. We know the story leading up to this event, where the people said, قَالُوا هَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, burn him to help your gods if you must act. Help your gods. What kind of god is it that needs help? If my God needs help, then how can I ask him to help me? He is the one in need. Na'udhu billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The problem is that shirk destroys the mind. And when you commit shirk, you do not even see the insanity of it. It is interesting how people cannot see the powerlessness of the false gods they worship, even when evidence of it is clearly visible. Today, we worship ideologies instead of stones. Their power comes from us, but we refuse to see that. And instead, we enslave ourselves to them. The ideology of commercialism, predatory capitalism, based on the interest-based banking system, which drives global poverty and war and suffering, and the enrichment of few at the expense of many. It is in our power to continue to support it or to reject it and take back our power. But Shaitan has convinced us that it is possible to accept war with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as our enemies, na'udhu billah, and yet make dua to Allah, which will call down the forces of angels to help us in our problems. The insanity of this doesn't strike us. Living is about making choices. We are free to choose, but every choice has a consequence. If we want to change the consequence, we must change the choice. Dua without changing the choice is worthless. In all the cacophony of the mob baying for the blood of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you look for him. You find him sitting in the cup of the trebuchet, hands and feet bound with ropes, about to be fired into the fire. At that time, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and asked him, "Ya Ibrahim, do you need anything? Can I help you?" I can imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam smiling. Is there even a need to answer? He was Khalilullah. He was the one whose submission Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnessed and announced for all creation. In the Quran to be recited in Salah until the end of time. What does the slave want? He wants whatever his Rabb wants for him. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel." My Allah is sufficient for me. Hasbi Allah. Wa huwa ni'mal wakeel. And He's the best of caretakers, the best of intercessors, the best of doers for me. When Ibrahim alayhi salam refused to accept anyone between him and his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly commanded the fire and told us, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We ordered, O fire, be cool and safe for Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say the fire became cool. No, Allah said, we ordered. The ayah is about the hukum of Allah. Allah is asking us reflect on why that happened. Not that the fire became cool. Reflect on why did that fire become cool. For Ibrahim. Ala Ibrahim. Salam and ala Ibrahim. The fire burnt the ropes, the thick ropes that were tied, that he was tied with, but didn't burn a single hair on his skin. Question. What did you and the crowd see? You and they saw the catapult fired and Ibrahim alayhi salam flying and disappearing from sight as he fell into the fire. The crowd cheers wildly at their apparent success. But we know the truth about what happened. This is what we must remember, that the truth is not always visible. Sometimes falsehood seems to triumph, but falsehood can never triumph, can never win, as long as the truth is present. Darkness has no identity of its own. Darkness is the name given to the absence of light. For darkness to disappear, all that needs to happen is for the smallest light to show up. So if you see darkness, don't blame the darkness, blame the light. Where is the light? Why is the light not shining? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And declare, the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Indeed, falsehood is bound to vanish. The light is the light of Hidayah. The darkness is the darkness of falsehood and ignorance and cruelty and oppression. Where are those whose job it was to carry that light into the darkness to dispel the darkness? Instead of carrying the light into the darkness to dispel the darkness, they are sitting and complaining that there is darkness. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The key is that those who claim to stand for the truth must be on the truth themselves. How many lamps does it take to dispel the darkness in a room? One lamp. One lighted lamp. You can have 1,000 unlighted lamps, it will still be dark. Even though the lamps are present, we don't need a lamp. We need a lighted lamp. We need a heart with iman, a heart with tawakkul, a heart with the knowledge and khashyat of Allah. Not dead hearts which are filled with fear and with desires and with all kinds of games to be played to fulfill those desires, in opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted and prohibited. The key is for those who claim to stand for truth to be on the truth themselves, not merely talk about the truth while indulging in falsehood. Remember that for dua to be accepted, it is the one making the dua that matters, not the dua. Who is making the dua? Not the dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to grant anything. His power has no limit. If He can bring a pregnant camel out of the rock, If he can cause 12 springs of water to come out of another rock, if he can split the sea and the moon, if he can cause the fire to cool, let us remember who he did these things for. Obedient people or disobedient ones? If the hands that rise to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection were raised earlier in acts that he declared to be haram, then what hope is there that those hands will be filled with his bounty? Allah has not changed. We have changed. And we must change back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Whether you reveal what is in your hearts or conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account for it. He forgives whoever he wills and he punishes whoever he wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most capable of everything. In his book, Al-Asbab al-Nuzul, Imam Ali bin Ahmad al-Wahidi narrates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and others as follows. The commentators of the Quran said, when the ayah, and whatever you make known, what is in your minds or hide, Allah will bring you to account for it. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوا يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. When this ayat was revealed, Abu Bakr and Umar and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Mu'adh bin Jabal and a group of the Ansar radiallahu anhum ajma'een all went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knelt down before him on their knees. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, wallahi, no other revealed ayah of the Quran is harder on us than this one. One of us speaks to himself about things that he does not like to remain in his heart, even in exchange for the world and all that it contains. And now we are taken to task for the things that we speak to our own selves inside our hearts. By Allah we are doomed. Rasulullah ﷺ said, that is how it was revealed. They said, we are ruined, Ya Rasulullah. We have been bound by that which we cannot possibly bear. Rasulullah's face became red with anger. He said, are you going to say, as the Bani Israel said to Moses, to Musa alayhi salam, Sami'na wa asayna, we hear, but we will not obey. We hear and we rebel. He said, قُلْ سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. We hear and we obey. Forgive us our Rabb and to you is our return. They said, سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. Immediately, they submitted. This was extremely hard on them. But Allah kept it. They remained in that situation for a year, 1 year, 12 months. Upon which then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent relief and repose with him, saying, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, which abrogated the ayah before it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned my community, my ummah, for the things with which they speak to themselves, as long as they do not act upon them or talk about them. Al-Wahidi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, only 1 year later, Allah gave them relief. Imagine the severity of this test. It was really training in submission and obedience which molded a generation the like of which we have never seen. The reward of submission was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them by taking the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sending them back as his own word to be recited in Salah to the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them how to make dua and what to ask for. What can I say about the maqbooliyat, the acceptance of dua that is taught by the one who accepts it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the great last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. آمين يا رب. Allah said, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firmly believes in what has been revealed to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. They all believe in Allah, his malaika, his angels, his books and his messengers. They proclaim, we make no distinction between any of his messengers. And they say, we hear and we obey. سَمَيْنَا وَعَطَانَ وَفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Rabb. And to you alone is the final return. Allah does not require of any soul more than it can afford, more than it can bear. All good will be for its own benefit, and all evil will be to its own loss. The believers make dua and they say, O our Rabb, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. Our Rabb, do not place a burden on us like the one you placed on those before us. Our Rabb, do not burden us with what we cannot bear. Pardon us, forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our only guardian. So grant us victory over our enemies, over the disbelieving people. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that it is the same Rabb that we worship. He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, الرزاق ذو القوة المتين هو رب العالمين هو ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط المستقيم. Worship him. That is the correct path. The question is, do we trust him? Do we trust Allah? We must show the answer, not only say it. That is the challenge. And only that answer will be accepted. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to live our lives in a way that pleases Him and to take us in a state where He is pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.